were recently shopping for a new microwave oven. And, you know, it's exciting. We went on a site and, you know, looked at the selection they had. And when we used the filters to get rid of smart ones and ones with apps and ones that wanted to be online and subscribe us to things, it cut the selection like way down.
It really did. Finding a dumb countertop microwave was significantly more complicated than I thought it would be. Honestly, I like what we wound up with, but we needed very few bells and whistles, and they kept trying to bell and whistle us.
And we don't need a TCP/IP stack in the thing.
No, we certainly do not.
And, you know, you think about automobiles, all the crap they give you in cars these days that you really don't want, but try getting a car without all these things. You know, like I'm talking about touchscreens. Touchscreens in a car are dangerous. I mean, how do they not know that? You know, you're driving, the last thing you should be doing is looking at a screen off to your right and making selections, which is the only way you can tune a radio in many of these cars these days. It's so frustrating. Kyle, you can attest to every time I rent a car, I'm spending at least 20 minutes complaining, you know, before I even start driving, because it's just so crazy what they make you do. Radios are the simplest thing in the world. That's why we love being on radio. You know, the dial to the right you tune with, the dial to the left, volume. You don't need anything else. You don't need to look at it. But these days, no, you have to make selections. You have to pick a band. You have to hit the right button. And God forbid you hit the wrong button, you'll be fixing that mistake for another 10 minutes at least.
Yeah, rental cars are a great way to experience this, just trying to do something as simple as tuning a radio, because you have to basically train yourself around the entirety of the user interface and that experience, how it was designed, how you're supposed to gesture or how you're supposed to navigate from one menu or submenu and make selections and then get back to another, like, sort of neutral screen or turning things off that you don't necessarily need. It's incredibly complex. And if you switch from car to car to car, like, they're not uniform in the ways that icons or graphics were, pictograms, the kinds of things that a button or a switch would have had. So, like, it's just added this layer of complexity. You have to understand the software that every single different type of manufacturers decided upon before you could really say, like, you master automobile interfaces.
You've touched upon something really important there. You have to master it. And that is the requirement for every bit of technology these days. You have to master your television. You have to master your refrigerator. You have to master your car. And if you can't do that, you're out of touch. And I think that's what the older generation gets labeled as way too often and many times unfairly, because it's not that they're out of touch. It's that you're going nuts with all the design gizmos and features and things people don't actually want or need when the basics will do just fine. So it's got nothing to do with being out of touch. It has to do with wanting something different. Who had their hand up? Rob, you did. Good.
Yeah, regarding touch screens in cars, I think the basic facts behind that are pretty obvious and fascinating, because a flat touch screen with no tactile feedback or anything is going to be more difficult for a driver to navigate. And if a driver is trying to just reach off to the side and control things, it's always going to be safer to have mechanical buttons and switches. But it's always going to be cheaper for an automaker to just slap a touch screen in the thing and call it done. And I think they very much enjoy saving money, and so they're gonna do what they do, regardless of the actual safety concerns of what they force on people. And I'm really interested to see some studies and some numbers about the safety, the relative safety of, you know, smearing your hand around on a touchscreen versus using knobs and switches while you're driving a car.
Yeah, I'm curious how they would even get that data, but it just seems so obvious that that's not safe. Taking your eyes off the road, it's not safe. It should not be encouraged. And just being distracted by all kinds of messages. I like using Waze. I really do. It's a good service. But I'm not going to get drawn into social interactions with other drivers, which is what it's constantly trying to get you to do. And, you know, the craziest thing is that the attention signal that something, somebody you know is nearby, or I don't even know what it was trying to get me to acknowledge. But the signal is a car horn. I mean, really, a car horn while you're driving? That's how you want to get my attention. It's just stupid. All right, let's go back to some listener mail. Legal question about AI gun detection in Baltimore. I'm not sure if that's what we were discussing last week with the Doritos bag. Was it Baltimore? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. The police responded due to an AI-generated alert that thought the Doritos bag was a gun. And forgive me if I'm getting the brand wrong. I think it's Doritos, but it could be Lay's potato. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Is it legal for police to take action based on non-human input? A machine cannot give probable cause. Only a human can. I run an AI-based security system. I have big concerns with this story. Charles, thank you for that letter, and very good point. Alex, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I can answer that. And I think our listener's intuition on this subject is absolutely right. Probable cause cannot arise from an automated system on its own. There has to be a so-called human in the loop here. A human has to be able to validate and verify what the actual alert is. You can't have some kind of machine that gives some kind, that throws up a message like, hey, there's a gun in a Dorito bag, for instance. and that alone can give reason to probable cause. That's absolutely wrong. It cannot happen like that. There has to be some kind of human intervention generally. Now, every state has different wrinkles, but for the most part, that's my understanding of the black letter law when it comes to these particular types of automated systems.
Okay. Moving on. Now that Apple has removed IceBlock from their store, I wanted to follow up my email from a couple of months ago, which you read over the air. Okay, well, you're two for two then. That email gave several justifications to give in defense of the app, and now I'd like to point out something else. For some reason, I believe everyone is assuming that even if they already have the app on their device, they can no longer use it. Is that really the case? Is there something about how it receives reports from users or how it then displays that information to everybody that requires Apple's servers as intermediaries for that data? I searched the web for hours and finally found only one news report that happened to address that question, and it mentioned it only parenthetically. It said, yes, the app still works, but I can't be sure they know what they're talking about. Even Joshua Aaron himself, in interviews on cable news, failed to talk about whether IceBlock still works for those people who already have it on their phones. The question should have been addressed and off the hook as well, but wasn't. Okay, well, let's address it. I don't have an iPhone, so I couldn't use the software. Does anybody here know anything about that? Gila, go ahead.
It just opened right up on my phone. I have no reported sightings in the neighborhood right now, but it's still giving me the opportunity to report. And yeah, I mean, it's still operating just like it did.
Okay. And by the way, Hampton Bays, a lot of ICE agents in Hampton Bays out east on Long Island. That's from another reporting app. There's a bunch of them. But just getting the word out there. But if you could keep that running and let us know if any ICE agents make an appearance, we'd like to know that. Alex, you had something too. I want to finish the letter, but go ahead first.
Yeah, I was just validating what Gila said, and perhaps the app will continue to work unless this becomes like a deprecated version of it, unless Aaron himself updates it in a way that would cause it to not function anymore. I would assume it should still function. Because Apple can't wipe this from your device. They can just stop you from getting updates.
Are you sure they can't wipe it from your device?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I think this is how things were operating when there was a TikTok ban in place as well. So I think it's very likely that they can't. They might have the functional capability to do so, but I don't think that they would.
But something that is weird and that happened on my phone is that sometimes my phone will like uninstall things to free up memory. And IceBlock had been sort of uninstalled on my phone. Like, it still existed, but I had to re-download it just now.
Well, how'd you re-download it?
Uh-huh.
No, but I mean, how could you? It's not on the store anymore.
I know, but I already downloaded it from the store. I have it. I just had to, like, I will admit I'm not entirely clear how this part of the tech works.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah.
But I don't think it re-downloaded because you would have had to download it from somewhere, right?
No, it regenerated. Alex, I bet you know what I'm talking about.
It did re-download it. Yeah, it did re-download. I had the same issue because I wasn't continually using the IceBlock app to report ice agents in my neighborhood or something. But
you guys got to keep alert to these things. You have to know where the ice agents are.
If I tell them, I'd be the first one to say something. You know, I follow the dictates of Homeland Security very closely. If you see something, say something, right? So I would have used it. But I had the same issue, and I had the same concern, wondering, like, hey, what the hell's going to happen here? Is Apple now going to prevent me from actually re-downloading this app? And it didn't. And that's very likely because the app was probably stored in your own iCloud-based storage account so that your own settings and permissions and data are associated with it and downloaded individually as opposed to from the App Store.
So basically, your phone is making a predetermined decision. You're not using this, so I'm going to stash it away somewhere until you do need it. And when you need it, it's going to download it from your own space.
Exactly. I'm operating under that assumption because that's the only one that seems to make sense. But maybe others on Overtime will have more information.
Yeah, go easy on me because I don't have an iPhone. I have no idea how they work. You guys probably should know a little more and probably do. Okay. So my thought is, is it not possible to simply have an alternate source where people with iPhones can download the software and put it on their phones? Do you have to go through iPhone's App Store?
I think you do. I don't, because otherwise it would require some kind of sideloading, which you would need to have your iPhone jailbroken in order to do that.
Well, then maybe that's the solution, because you should be able to run whatever you want on your own phone. You shouldn't have to get Apple's permission just to get a particular program to even run. Imagine, doing that on your laptop, being told, no, you can't run that program. It's not allowed. we shouldn't be accepting that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the walled garden that we've chosen when we own and operate iPhones. And in some ways, there's a lot of security functionality that's attendant to living in that particular walled garden. It's safer. Jailbroken phones are, with apps that can be sideloaded, can often have malicious code installed on them. And so a lot of organizations that have like BYOD types of policies will prevent you from actually jailbreaking your phone if you're going to use it for work purposes through a mobile device management policy. So there's all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't jailbreak your phone. But I agree, having the freedom to install the software that you want is a critical issue.
Let me dive back into the letter here. If the app is indeed still functional for those who downloaded it prior to Apple pulling it, then that just brings up another question. Is there any suspicion that the next Apple iOS update will contain some kind of kill switch for IceBlock, or maybe some OS changes that deliberately leave the app unable to operate for its existing users? I think that's a very valid concern. And regarding the abandonment of Nest, at the risk of seeming to play devil's advocate, believe me, I'm immune from that, I suspect Google could defend their action by saying that the Nest unit can still function like any conventional dumb thermostat, so it's not like your home heating is suddenly out of your control. Well, let me just address that. No, it's not, but I have a dumb thermostat now. So please refund me the money between what a dumb thermostat cost and what I paid for the high-tech one that you guys just bricked. I think that's fair. Anyway, perhaps you can even continue programming its operation and timing via the unit itself. Google says, yes, you can still walk up to your thermostat and select the temperature and have your heat go to that temperature. Amazing, isn't it? I have 1930s technology now. Thank you, Google. I'm supposed to be happy about that. Secondly, while it's true you paid a premium price to have a smart unit that lets you monitor and control it remotely, Google could complain about having to perpetually bear the expense of maintaining servers to handle your online interactions with Nest, as well as the bandwidth required to handle that traffic. Google, then you're in the wrong business. If you're going to complain about running servers and keeping Nest going, don't run servers. Don't buy Nest. Don't do those things. Let someone else do it. But they didn't necessarily say that. But if they did, that's what I would say in return. Google's data centers have become so massive now that dealing with data from a decreasing number of old Nest units, which they had no problem doing decades ago, cannot really be a problem for them whatsoever. But do you see validity in any of these arguments Google could make? I see validity in bringing those questions up, but they're very easy to tear down. So, I'm glad you raised them, but I don't think those points stand. I really don't. I totally agree with you about people who keep saying you should abandon older technology even if it still works for you. At best, they are operating with the presumption that newer is better and simply want you to enjoy it like they do. But they also go on to imply that the progress of humanity is being held back by you, as if they themselves cannot use new things if you don't do so as well. Kevin, thank you for that wonderful letter. We got great letters this week. Yeah, that is the mentality that, you know, if you don't conform and do as I do, then you're the problem. And that is always an issue. And it transcends any kind of relationship you have. People take that on. They say, you know, I've found the answer. Why don't you find the answer too? You can apply that to Google. You can apply that to religion. You can apply that to anything, you know, brand loyalty. We need to have diversity. We need to have people use what they are comfortable using and continue to be supported. Is that so wrong? They can't hear you shaking your heads.
I thought the rattle might be audible, but no, that is not so wrong.
All right. Our friend Joseph Cox over at 404 Media. Did I get it right? 404 Media. Had an article a little while back. ICE and Customs and Border Patrol agents are scanning people's faces on the street to verify citizenship. We don't have a lot of time. We only have 2 minutes left. Yeah, what do you think about that concept, that is what ICE is now doing? You still think ICE isn't a threat? You still think it's only for the bad guys that ICE is acting the way they do? No, they're doing it to you too. You might not feel it. You might get tackled on the street, but you are having your privacy invaded. Your face scanned, run through a database that you are now in, and your citizenship status, because that's the most important thing in the world now, apparently, is being checked. God knows how many times. Any thoughts in the time we have left, Rob?
Yeah, just like the Doritos instead of a gun story, this is ridiculous just for the fact that the tech doesn't work. It's, you know, facial recognition tech is still disproportionately poorly performing when used on people of color. It is not dependable, and also I don't trust the people using it, because
Rob, if it were dependable, would your concern change?
No, it would not. Why are we even thinking about this when the damn thing doesn't work? But, you know, assuming that it will one day work, it is still terrifying.
See, I would say, they're going to come to you and say, okay, yeah, good point. We'll make it better. You know, I wouldn't give them that. I wouldn't say, yeah, it sucks. I'm glad it sucks. But this is unacceptable. You shouldn't be doing this to people on the street or really anywhere. It's an intrusion, and it's a violation. And I think that's the point we have to make and stick to. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? We have 1 minute. A lot of valuable time going by. No? Nobody? Okay, we don't care about this, apparently.
I'm in agreement with you guys. You know, I'm usually the contrarian here, but I think that it's right. These technologies are pretty dangerous. They're untested and untrue. And I think dangerous because they erode our sense of privacy and what we would reasonably expect to be part of our rights of privacy. So it's I think it's just generally all around bad.
All right, we're gonna have to leave it there. Write to us, oth@2600.com. Please support WBAI, give to wbai.org or buddy.wbai.org to make a sustaining contribution, a monthly contribution that is a small amount that adds up to a bigger amount and keeps us on the air. That is one of the most important things. Join us on YouTube, channel 2600 over on YouTube, or the link that is on the 2600.com webpage. Have a good night, everyone. We'll be right back.
trying to keep the smile on their faces. Say the things that make them feel better every day. Man, you got to stay on your P's and Q's. If you don't, the woman you can easily lose. Oh, I had a love, true love, and I lost her. No one can help me share the pain. The love cost me, cause a woman's got to have love. I believe, yeah. She wanna know that she's needed around. When you kiss her, you got to make her feel it. Every time, boy. She wanna know she's not walking on shaky ground.
Pour aller annoncer que tu m'as. m'a fait la cour et que ça a marché. Car si tu ne dis rien de ce qui s'est passé, peut-être que demain je recommencerai. Si mon cœur a battu contre toi, ce n'est pas pour ces choses que tu crois. J'étais seul un autre et j'avais froid. Tu étais là. Va pas prendre un tambour pour aller annoncer que tu as fait le tour de mes petits secrets. Tout ce que je t'ai dit pour te faire plaisir, quelqu'un me l'avait dit pour me faire plaisir. Que j'ai compris l'amour quand tu m'as embrassé. Ce n'est pas que j'ai peur qu'on se moque de moi, mais plutôt j'aurais peur qu'on se moque de toi.
My name is Anera. I never knew my mother. She died when I was a baby of post-flat pack assembly trauma. When they found her, some of her remains were missing. All I remember of my father is that he reminded me of a handsome, if flaky, pastry. Perhaps that was his dignity, or his dandruff. It came as no surprise when he was hit by a bakery van. There was bread everywhere. I learnt two things from the death of my father. Never cross when the green man's flashing, and whole loaf is better than sliced. I work in this museum. I sit here in this room full of 17th century paintings. All day. Sometimes I give talks, but usually I just watch these paintings and the paintings watch me. My ambition in life is to take up smoking, but I've just not got round to it. Most of the people in these paintings look desperate for a cigarette. Most of the visitors to this museum are desperate for the loo. I took the job as a stopgap after university 3 years ago. I suppose destiny's marked me out for some glorious future. When the museum closes, I go home. I live with Pete. We met at Oxford, where he was into left politics and sport and chaired the Red Skateboard Society. Now he's a banker in the city and he's doing really well. We've just moved to a bigger mortgage.
Come on, Onera! I thought you'd have unpacked everything by now. This penthouse cost me $2 million. The least you could have done is plug in the fridge. Do I have to do everything?
I'm coming.
What's up with this stupid machine?
Well, the removals men damaged the ceiling.
It's dead. The fridge is dead.
Should we bury it at sea? The Arctic Ocean, perhaps. It's no big deal.
No big deal? My fridge doesn't work. How am I going to chill the champagne?
You could blow it kisses. That ought to freeze the bottle.
Just get me a new fridge.
Why do I feel like I've been through this before?
It's romance, Onera. The byproduct of the economic cycle.
Truth has never satisfied me. You can't argue with it. You can't let its bicycle tires down to teach it a lesson. All you can do with truth is swap it for other truths. Like a postage stamp in a collection kept by your ex-army uncle. But there is something other than truth. Something deeper and richer and altogether addictive. And that something is meaning. You can't see it. You can't buy it. You have to find it yourself. I don't sleep much. They say you can't see the Milky Way in London because of light pollution. It's not true. That night, there was a full moon. I could see stars, satellites, and a small flying saucer. It carved a horizontal question mark around the city. It was to change my life.
The toilet.
Yeah.
Go through the next room, turn left, and through the door marked Brit Art.
Thank you.
Now, this particular painting has a Latin title. Quisumus esse, Who Are We to Be? It's by unknown master of the Flemish school circa 1630. Now, as you can see, it shows a collection of curious objects on a table. A glass flask containing a miniature man and some birds. A Janus face skull and a clock with blood gushing from beneath the dagger stuck in its face.
What is it supposed to be?
A pastoral scene. Now, here on the right is a bearded old man in a desert. Now, he's pointing at this open book, hovering in glory over the entire composition. The book's in Latin. The words we can read translate as, "Cheer up, you sod, you're all going to die." Now, notice the upside-down brown pencil sketch pinned beneath the wounded clock of a young woman who's also pointing at the hovering book.
She looks exactly like you.
I'd never noticed that before. I would have dismissed it as a coincidence,
But there was something else that made it altogether perplexing. At the back of the group was an old man with unfashionable clothes and a long black beard, and he looked exactly like the old man in the painting. He was smiling and nodding as if he knew me. That lunchtime, as usual, I went to the plastic cafe opposite the museum. It's soothingly uniform. Everything is a moulded brown. The tables, the chairs, the food. That old man was there. He bowed and said,
"Do you recommend the anorexic latte and chimera croissant? Or do you have problems with the existence of an external reality?"
"Oh, not at all. I saw a UFO last night. It avoided flying over central London. Why do you think that was?"
"They don't want to pay the congestion charge."
He clearly knew more than he was prepared to tell. And I knew he wasn't a figment of my imagination, because he vanished.
"Pete, did you know that UFOs avoid central London to beat the congestion charge?"
"I'm not interested in traffic problems, okay? I've spent today working my guts out on the biggest flotation in corporate history."
"Well, tonight you can relive your time in student accommodation. We're having tin food, as we still have to buy a new fridge."
"We? You won't understand this, but I'm trying to nail the number one spot in the firm's bonus league. No. I make the mega dosh, you buy the fridge. That's your role in this organisation."
"But Pete, I thought you'd come with me."
"You want me to choose what colour fridge?"
"No, I want you to pay for it."
"You pay, you invoice me, I repay you within 30 days, subject to my approval of the merchandise. This does not affect your statutory conjugal rights. That's how it works between couples on ERA. It's called being in love."
Sometimes, Pete's more like my line manager than my boyfriend. Other times he simply ignores me, which gives me extra time for thinking. To Pete, it looks like I'm doing nothing. But, as the Roman philosopher Cato said, you're never more busy than when you're doing nothing. Cato killed himself. I suppose he wanted to do nothing permanently. Or maybe he didn't want to be the person who invented psychotherapy. That night, I rode several buses to an out-of-town hyperstore. 24/7 electric heaven. The world's biggest selection of electrical appliances under one roof.
"Yes, madam, we have a cornucopia of fridges. This one, for example, it's existential."
"I think, therefore, I chill."
"Ah, that's the Cartesian model, being discontinued. Same French manufacturer. This one's more, I am, I might chill or I might not. There's a universe of possibilities."
No.
"Well, how about the Slimmers fridge? Chills your salads and helps cut down on the calories."
"Oh, what's the secret?"
"It smokes."
"Maybe."
"The adults only fridge."
No. I finally escaped from the salesman around dawn. I found it hard to stay awake at work that day, and on the bus home, I dozed. I dreamt I was back outside the electrical appliance hyperstore, walking across the car park. And suddenly, a flying saucer hovered over the building. It fired a laser beam and obliterated 24/7 electric heaven. They tried to sell the aliens a dodgy fridge. I remember thinking this was an irreconcilable breakdown in customer relations when...
"Is this seat taken?"
"Oh, sorry, no. Oh, it's you again."
"I've been waiting a long time."
"Oh, buses on this route are an endangered species."
"See, you're interested in the front page of my newspaper."
"Yes."
"The catastrophic accident at an electrical appliance hyperstore. A customer entered while smoking."
"Smoking?"
"It set off the sprinkler system. It's believed there was exposed wiring. Fortunately, no credit ratings were harmed."
"Police are anxious to interview the customer, who is described as small, grey, and wearing a spacesuit." "How odd."
"Reality is subject to interpretation."
"Why are you so interested in that painting at my museum?"
"Because I am the painter. I am unknown master of the Flemish school.
You're Flem?
Actually, I'm Dutch. The border moved.
That painting is nearly 400 years old.
I am 400 years old. Surprised?
My fridge has died and it was German. Nothing could surprise me now.
My commiserations. Here's my card. Goodbye.
Nikolai van der Man. Antiquity, alchemist, and bookseller.
Pete! I met a man today who was 400 years old. He'd been waiting for a bus.
That's why I don't use public transport. Explain to me why you didn't buy a fridge.
I have a job in the daytime.
You sit in a museum and stare at paintings. That's not a job, that's being in open prison. You'd leave if you had any sense. We don't need your wages. What we need's a fridge.
I went to the hyperstore, and it got torched by aliens.
You know, Onera, you're really not keeping up with the business plan of this relationship at all.
The next day at work, there was a pyramid of ash on the gallery floor beneath a portrait of an Antwerp burger emptying his pipe. As I was pondering about this, the old man appeared out of nowhere.
Call me Nikolai, please.
What have you done for the past four centuries?
I've been engaged in the quest for knowledge.
But what about meaning? Isn't that more important?
Meaning is nothing. Knowledge is everything. To know is to possess.
You have to be possessed to search for knowledge.
Ironic, isn't it? The quest for knowledge is irrational.
Or if you've spent 400 years searching for knowledge and you're still wearing breeches, you must be a very slow learner.
I have learnt one thing. No one is a good judge of their self because we are bound by time. You need to be outside the loop of time to truly judge.
Is time loopy?
It's all over the place, but don't tell the clocks that.
Well, I'm not in the habit of talking to clocks. Digital, manual, or cuckoo. Oh, you're not Swiss, are you?
Dutch, and I've watched you grow through catastrophe after catastrophe. It brings tears of joy to my eyes to see you've become so impartial, unfazed and indifferent. You have been steeled.
I know. I'm in your painting.
A special role's been marked out for you, Onera.
For me? By who?
The unfolding of the universe may well hinge on you.
Oh. Will it hurt?
Relationships hurt, do they not?
So what's my role?
That's for you to find out. You must discover your destiny, Onera.
Do I get a badge?
I have something better for you. A gift.
Oh.
A fridge.
Oh. It's a bit small.
Pete, I've got us a fridge.
It's a shoebox.
It's a fridge.
Onera, your share price on my emotional stock market is in steep decline. You can't do anything, can you? I'm penciling you in for a meeting on Monday, 8 p.m. Re, failures in replacement domestic appliance procurement. I warn you, it's gonna be rough. Bring your crash helmet.
But Pete, we're having our monthly team builder next Monday night. You know, table for two, charades, bed.
Ah, yeah. Yes, yeah. Make that Tuesday at 8 for the dressing down.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Now, stand that thing on the kitchen table and switch it on.
Well, shouldn't we read the instructions first?
Instructions? It's a shoebox. Just plug it in.
Oh, what should we do?
We should put something in it.
A milk carton?
Yes.
The pint of semi-skimmed fitted in perfectly. We went to bed. As usual, Pete lulled himself to sleep by sucking his mobile. As usual, I couldn't sleep. So I stared into the night sky. For several minutes, I watched a cigar-shaped saucer flying over Greenwich. We were woken at 4 a.m.
Onera, the shoebox has grown.
It's a fridge.
It is now. Look at the table legs.
How do we make it shut up?
I know. Pass me the long life custard.
And here's some shortbread.
Yes.
And jam.
Yes.
And basmati rice.
Yes.
Oh, seems satisfied at last.
Oh, what now?
Oh, it started defrosting. Oh.
The fridge kept defrosting every 20 minutes. And by morning, it had sprouted a freezer cabinet. I went shopping for easy-to-digest foods and rolls of kitchen towel. That set the pattern for the next week. Every day, the fridge grew taller. And every night, it howled and seemed to edge nearer our bedroom. We didn't get much sleep.
Oh, an error! Hand me up those ready-made bread and butter puddings.
Pete, is that stepladder safe?
Oh, it's the only way I can reach the freezer cabinet now. You know, Anera, since we've had our little fridge, I felt we've become a real family.
I'm glad you're happy, Pete, but I think our little fridge is about to break through the roof.
Stand back! The ceiling's collapsing!
Are you okay, Pete?
Fine.
What do we do now?
Buy a bigger ladder.
You don't get answers from thinking. Or anything tangible you can shove into your ever-expanding freezer cabinet. I noticed the more the fridge grew, the more preoccupied Pete became with feeding it. I began to feel redundant, and soon, I wasn't the only one.
Pete, you win! Why don't you stop kneeling in front of the fridge and answer the phone? Hello? Pete, it's your boss, the CEO.
Tell him to go away!
Hello? Pete's a bit busy at the moment. I'll ask him. Pete, he wants to know why you've not been in the office this week.
I'm not going in ever again.
Hello. Pete's not well. He has refrigeration sickness.
Never felt better.
I'll tell him. Pete, your boss thinks you've been headhunted. He doesn't want to lose you, so he's offering to make you a partner. A partner, Pete. That's what you've always said you wanted.
I'll talk to him.
At last.
Hello, Pete speaking. Thanks for ringing and goodbye. Forever.
Pete, what are you saying?
I'm thinking about the future, Anera. We've got to find out the catchment area of the best maintenance firm in London and get this fridge registered with them.
I left Pete in the dark, gazing up at the monolithic fridge. I stood on the balcony. The night was cold and the stars were bright. And then I saw I was being watched. In the gloom of the penthouse opposite, I could make out two small green points of light facing me. They blinked, and then they juddered to the rhythm of an unearthly hacking cough. Then it lit a cigarette, and the match flame betrayed an alien outline. The flame was snuffed out, and the green eyes vanished. Oh, what was happening? The fridge? Pete? Now aliens? Was all this to do with my special role in the cosmic schema? Where would I find out? And would there be expenses? Maybe Nikolai, the alchemist cum bookseller, could explain it. Oh, your books are all dusty. There's no titles on them.
That's because the authors are shy.
I'm being watched by a smoking alien.
I wouldn't worry. Keep an ashtray handy.
Where did you get that fridge?
I made it.
I thought alchemists turned base metal into gold.
You have to move with the times. The market for precious metals isn't as stable as it used to be. Oh. These days, we make fridges.
You manufacture them?
Please, I am an artisan. That fridge was handcrafted in my laboratory. I found the instructions in the Gospel of Thomas.
Is that in the Bible?
No, it's in one of the so-called Gnostic scriptures.
So what did you find in the Old and New Testaments?
The public message of the divine. What else?
Oh, right.
But there is another message, a hidden message written down in obscure books. I've spent centuries decoding those ancient hermetic texts about the secrets of alchemy. I believe the ideas of today's theoretical physicists are only a rediscovery of that ancient wisdom. A wisdom for millennia derided as heresy and magic, now reborn as string theory, with its ten-dimensional universe where all the forces of nature are unified. But I'm